I'm reading from Mark chapter 6, starting at verse 30. The apostles gathered round Jesus and reported him all they had done and taught. And then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns, and they got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered, "You give them something to eat." Now we're going to skip a few verses and start again at verse 53 and read to the end of the chapter. When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret and anchored there. As soon as they got out of the boat, people recognized Jesus. They ran throughout that whole region and carried those who were ill on mats wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages or the countryside, they placed those who were ill in the marketplaces. They begged him to let them even touch the edge of his cloak, and all those who touched it were healed. This is the word of the Lord.
So I wonder whether you have sometimes felt just completely overwhelmed with busyness, things to do. Perhaps you've felt like this lady on the picture on the screen at times. Well, Alpha is full of good stories, and one of the better stories, one of the best, is about a young police officer who was taking his final exam at Hendon Police College in North London. And the first three questions on his test were relatively easy, and then he got to question four. And it went like this. You're on patrol in outer London when an explosion occurs in a gas main in a nearby street. On investigation, you find that a large hole has been blown in the footpath and that there is an overturned van lying nearby. Inside the van, there's a strong smell of alcohol. Both occupants, a man and a woman, are injured. You recognise the woman as the wife of your divisional inspector, who is at present away in the United States. A passing motorist stops to offer you assistance, but you realise that he's a man who's wanted for armed robbery. Suddenly, another man runs out of a nearby house shouting that his wife is expecting a baby and the shock of the explosion has made the birth imminent. Another man is crying for help, having been blown into an adjacent canal by the explosion, and he cannot swim. Describe in a few words what actions you would take. The police officer thought for a moment, picked up his pen, and wrote, "I would take off my uniform and mingle with the crowd." Very wise words. So sometimes we can be overwhelmed by busyness and not know which way to turn. Well, Jesus, in our reading from Mark chapter 6, had just got back from sending out his 12 disciples on a mission trip where they had been very busy, they were very tired, and they come back and Jesus says to them, "Okay, time for a break. Let's get away." It had been a very difficult week, not just because of the mission that the disciples were on, but Jesus had just heard the very bad and sad news about John the Baptist having been killed. So he says to them, let's go somewhere away. Let's go to a lonely place, a private place away from the crowds. But as we know, the best laid plans sometimes don't always come to work, because the crowds saw them, as we heard in our reading. The crowds got there first. Just imagine what it would be like to be a celebrity. I don't know whether you recognize the man getting out of the car, or is he getting into the car? I don't know. David Beckham. Yeah. But just imagine being David Beckham and the crowds knowing where you're going to be and facing crowds every moment of your life like that. Well, the disciples' reactions to the seeing the crowd might well have been, oh no, go away. We just want to be on our own for a while. But actually, Jesus' reaction wasn't that. His reaction was to have compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he starts to teach them. He sits down to teach them. And then at the end of the day, we get the feeding of the 5,000, the miracle. But after that long, long, busy, tiring day, he sends his disciples off ahead of him to cross the lake. And they go off to Gennesaret across Lake Galilee. And yet even there, more crowds meet him. There are more demands for healing. People brought the sick to him. Well, we've probably heard a little bit about a condition called burnout. It's a condition that can particularly affect high achievers, people who think, I can do anything or everything. People who are passionate about what they do and ignore the fact that they are working exceptionally long hours or taking on exceedingly heavy workloads. They put enormous pressure on themselves to excel. And burnout can lead to physical and emotional exhaustion. It can lead to a bit of an attitude of cynicism and detachment. We can get compassion fatigue, where we just don't care about other people anymore. It can lead to feelings of ineffectiveness, a lack of accomplishment. Well, you would have thought that Jesus might have been at risk of suffering burnout. He was, after all, truly human. He faced tiredness. He faced busyness. But did he suffer from burnout? Did he have compassion fatigue? I think this reading from Mark shows us that no, he didn't. He didn't suffer from burnout. So what was it then that made Jesus resilient? I want to talk about three things in particular. First of all, he went off up regularly up a mountain to pray, to take time out. In verse 46, we hear that Jesus sent his disciples on ahead of him in the boat, and he went off up the mountain to pray by himself. After a really, really busy day, he prioritized his time with God. In fact, it was the fourth watch of the night when he saw the disciples struggling in their boat on the lake, and he went out to them. The fourth watch of the night would be about 3 o'clock in the morning. 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock in the morning. That's a desperate time of the night, isn't it? But that's the time when Jesus was awake. So he made time to pray. I don't know if you've ever prayed all night. I don't think I've prayed all night. I've prayed for bits of the night, but I don't think I've ever prayed all night. But sometimes during the night when I'm wakeful, when I'm wake up or when I'm stirring, I will use that time to pray. And as God brings people to mind, I might just commit them to God. So Jesus used all times of the day and night to take time to pray. Then secondly, he took time out. So at particular occasions, for example, just before he chose his 12 disciples, he took time to be by himself, to go out and to spend time with God. I don't know whether you ever have the opportunity to take time out. Once a month I go to Launde Abbey for the day, and that's a day for me to be quiet. I go with a friend and we take time to pray, to be quiet, to be still. And it often comes at a time when I think, oh, I just can't afford to take a day out. I'm too busy. But actually, it's those times that I most need to take that time of stillness and quiet. And I do find it does refresh and restore me. So to pray, to take time out. And the third thing is that Jesus knew very clearly a sense of plan and God's purposes for him. He said in John, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Jesus, you see, wasn't a people pleaser. He didn't feel the need to please everybody that asked him to do something. He had a very clear sense of what God had given him to do. And what he did was driven by that and not by trying to please other people. So we need to learn to pray moment by moment. We need to live in the presence of God. Sunday, obviously, is a time to be still. And it's great to come to St. Giles on a Sunday morning and gather together and enjoy God's presence in our worship, in our reading, and in meeting other people. And that's a huge encouragement and really would emphasize whenever you can, to come and be part of our church family here. But what if we could find God's presence even in the midst of our busyness from Monday to Saturday as well? Can we do what the Psalms say? Psalm 46 we looked at a few weeks ago. Be still and know that I am God, particularly in our busyness. Taking time to be still. So easy when we're busy, isn't it, to lose touch with God and with what's within ourselves. Worship, though, isn't only what we do on a Sunday. Worship transforms all of our lives. And we need to find that place of stillness, even in the midst of the storm, even in the midst of our busyness. We're going to watch a short video clip now from LICC about God in our busyness.
Head down, grit teeth, roll on another week. Monday mornings, mundane job and tasks. Eat, work, tweet, graft, sleep, repeat. Late nights, early nights, keeping balance right. Dinner, dishes, washing, bed, bath, morning light. Concentrating hard, throwing myself in. Lift my given hands to work and losing touch with what's within. Each day, a gentle numbing. Sunday. Gathered church. Gathered people. Gather myself to worship. Lift my heart. Head up, breathe deep, invite you into the week. Lift my given hands to work and touching heaven as I do. Lift my hands to work and work's an instrument of praise. Your abiding presence filling up my days. Turn my eyes to you and your delight compels my tasks. Lift my heart to worship, lift my heart to bask in your warmth. Even in busyness, I'm stilled in you. When scattered, you're with us, and we are in you.